Oh, folks, I'm sorry for that. I haven't figured out the fine art of staying in the conference and reattaching somebody. So, oh, I know why I can't do it, because it thought Kano was still there even though he wasn't.
Yeah, I dropped off. But what you should have done was, when I called you back, since you couldn't merge me back in, I should have just hung up, and then you should have called me back instead of hanging up on a podcast and calling the podcast back.
Well, didn't you call me back?
You didn't hear what I said.
Right. Say it again.
All right. I called you back. I dropped off.
Right.
Did you drop off and lose to both me and the podcast, or did I just drop off?
You dropped off and then you called me right away. But the problem with what you're saying that I should do, I'm only allowed to merge two calls. And when you dropped off, as far as my phone was concerned, you were still there even though you dropped off.
Okay. So you don't have a
choice. So I didn't have a choice anyway. But maybe if I monologue for a while, my phone might realize that there's only one call going on.
True.
So,
yeah, it might take a minute for it to register.
Anyway, so how far was I in my story before you dropped out?
You was pretty much, I think, done. I was basically asking, okay, so basically you were saying that every couple days, the U.S. equipment would change sides and initiate a battle.
Right.
And then after that, it would go to the other side. A couple days later, initiate a battle from the other side.
Yeah.
So instigating a war. Whoever this U.S. equipment was, it was instigating a war.
Yeah, all observable stuff from, over 100 miles away.
Right.
Where we could observe, you know. But it's like this. The equipment we had, if you had similar equipment, you could sit on the side of the road and with a blindfold on, well, you'd have to be able to read the console. But, you know, if you were locked up in a room with the sensors outside the room, if a Buick passed by, you'd be able to tell the make, the model, and, you know, what was wrong with its timing. Because, you know, even though your eyes weren't on it. Because, you know, a Buick gives off certain distinct electronic signatures that a Ford does not, and vice versa. And so, you know, one of the things that we did while we were out in the ocean, we were out on the Indian Ocean, and this Russian ship came up to us. And the captain had everybody shut down everything. And then he called in all the people from electronic warfare, and we were all very busy scanning everything we could scan coming off of that Russian ship. But, of course, they did the same thing, so there's very little to scan. But, you know, we scanned it. We got every detail we could get, and I assume they were doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, we just circled each other for a while, and then eventually we went about our business, you know.
You just danced.
Say what?
You just danced.
Yeah, we just danced. Yeah, we did it a couple of do-si-dos in the middle of the ocean.
Do-si-do.
Yeah. But, you know, the main thing we did was we were sitting there scanning every possible signal we could get off of either ship, you know. And, you know, but it kept us busy for a while we sat there and spun around in the ocean. When we were sitting, it was south of the Gulf of Oman. So if anybody knows who's on the east coast of the Gulf of Oman and who's on the west coast of the Gulf of Oman, that's basically the two people who were shooting at each other.
And we were supposedly instigating it.
Well, we were supposedly there to calm things down.
Oh, yeah, that's what we were supposedly doing, but apparently we were doing something else.
Yeah, it was very odd that when things got highly active on both sides, then we left.
Right. So you did the opposite of what you were supposed to do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the strange thing is, on board ship, I could not say that to anybody there, even though it was blatantly obvious what was going on.
Why not? Why couldn't you say anything?
Because I was an idiot if I said it.
Oh, okay. I thought you would get punished.
Everybody said it to you. You're stupid. That's not what's happening at all. I mean, it's like the sky flashes red suddenly in the middle of the day. You know, the blue sky turns red. And you point it out, and everybody says, no, it didn't turn red. See, it's still blue. Like, dude, it's red. You're
like,
crazy. It's blue.
Well, it's just like what Bill was talking about the other day. This guy, this very intelligent guy that he knew, had no clue about chemtrails. So Bill told him about them. He goes, he didn't even know they existed. He goes, oh, I never look up.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You never look up? You never look at the sky? This doesn't make any sense. But I guess some people never look at the sky.
Well, you know, some people, like me, can't identify more than two constellations in the sky. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean, I know what Orion looks like, and I know what the Big Dipper looks like. And I kind of know what the Little Dipper looks like, but it takes me forever to find it.
The Little Dipper looks exactly like the Big Dipper, except for it's little.
Yeah, almost. But, yeah, I mean, it's... I use the Big Dipper to find the Little Dipper, because the North Star is in the Little Dipper, if I remember right. But, you know, I can't find the Little Dipper by itself. I have to use the Big Dipper. And so, okay, so I can identify three constellations in the sky, and I've just named all three of them. And one of them I have a hard time. So a guy who doesn't know what a chemtrail is, yeah, I can kind of believe it.
Right. I never look up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if he can't tell the difference between a cumulus cloud and a, dang it, I can't even name another cloud type. But, you know, he doesn't even recognize that there's different cloud types. Why would he notice the difference between a chemtrail and a contrail?
Don't know.
You know? Especially when they're taking old movies and editing chemtrails into them so that it looks normal.
Right.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, what the hell? Since we're on the subject of chemtrails, what do you think they're putting in those chemicals? What do you think their purpose is?
I do not have firsthand knowledge of what they're putting in. I know only what I've read, and the main thing is that they're putting in there is aluminum and two other metals. I can't remember what they are off the top of my head right now. And then after that, then there's all sorts of weird stuff like human blood and strange fibrous things that are supposedly causing disease and, you know, But for me, it's all hearsay stuff because I haven't personally studied it. All I know is I see them.
True. I haven't done a lot of research on it, but my understanding is that it's probably a combination of things. You know, like fluoride. They got to get rid of fluoride. Fluoride is a hazardous waste.
True.
And they don't know how to get rid of it, so they put it in our water and our toothpaste and say, hey, it's good for you.
Yeah.
So other chemicals that they're trying to get rid of, other hazardous wastes.
And if they were using chemical-grade fluoride, they might have an argument that, but they're not. They're using the toxic waste fluoride for the city water, which is full of arsenic and lead and mercury and various other poisonous chemicals.
You mean pharmaceutical grade?
If they're using pharmaceutical grade, they might have an argument, but they're not.
Right, or even the natural fluoride. From what I understand, there is a natural fluoride that is good for you, but not the stuff they're putting in our water and our toothpaste.
Yeah, maybe, but that's not what they're getting a hold of.
Right.
Because there is no city can afford enough medical-grade fluoride to put in the water supply. They just can't.
Right.
So we go with the next best as far as price goes, and that's, we got some fluoride we can sell you, and we can sell it to you cheap.
Exactly. So I think the chemtrails are partially that. They got toxic waste that they're trying to get rid of. They don't really know where or how to get rid of it, so they put it into chemtrails.
Well, we jumped all over Japan for what? They got that situation going on over there still with the basically the China syndrome going on with their nuclear power plant and Japan decided what they were going to do is they're going to take all the toxic waste from that and distribute it evenly all over Japan. And so because of our environmental concerns for the Japanese people, it's like, oh, that's not fair. I mean, those people weren't anywhere near it. Now you're going to make them be exposed to it? But, what you're suggesting is probably true. They're probably spraying it over our heads just to get
rid
of it.
To get rid of it, to dissipate it, to, spread it out.
Yep.
And so then when it rains, it brings it down to, part of it will gravitate to the earth. A lot of it will get stuck in the clouds until it rains, and then it'll come back down.
And what really makes that really, really believable? When I worked for Western Messenger, I used to deliver legal documents for various corporations. And one of the places I went and picked up legal documents from in order to go get them filed for them was this toxic waste transfer station in Hercules. All right.
Hercules.
Yeah, City of Hercules. North of Oakland, south of Vallejo. All right. Matter of fact, almost straight south of Vallejo. And this site, they eventually closed it down and bulldozed it over. And they sold it to one of the local sports heroes, and he turned it into a development, a housing development. Now think this over. Toxic waste transfer station.
Right.
Okay. Build houses on it.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds good to you?
That's perfectly normal. I'd build my house on a toxic waste, on an old toxic waste plant. No problem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Raise my children there and grow food.
Yeah, you know, I won't ask any questions when my children are born with two heads and three noses on every face.
Right.
It's perfectly normal for your child to have six noses.
I want my children to be X-Men.
Yeah, the Hulk and the Spider-Man and the X-Men all combined in one. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No, no, it doesn't. And it just, wow. It just drove me crazy. Especially when later I was delivering newspapers in those neighborhoods.
Did you see any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles? No, I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
Heroes in Asheville?
One or two would spring up in that area.
Right, right. Heroes in a Half Shell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
Right, me either. But I mean, you know, what I meant was, you didn't see any there?
No mutant turtles?
Yeah.
Honestly, no, I didn't see any turtles, honestly.
In that development, you didn't see any mutant ninja turtles?
No.
Or any other cool mutant ninjas?
You know, I didn't actually, you know, I don't even recall running across a possum in that neighborhood.
A possum? Yeah, they probably all died from
I can't say that there wasn't any, but I don't recall running across any.
Right. If they were there, they're probably mutated. Teenage Mutant Ninja Possums.
I do remember there was some really strange setups for some of the houses. I was supposed to port some of the papers, and there was no way to drive in front of their house because the houses faced this park, and there's no street between them and the park.
Right.
Matter of fact, I'm not even sure how the people got to their houses unless they parked elsewhere and walked.
Oh. Well, with all that radiation, they probably just flew.
Oh, or teleported.
Teleported. They had special skills. They were mutant ninjas.
Okay.
Cars? We don't need cars.
Yeah, well, they had streets and everything, but some of the arrangement was weird. And
of course, it was built on a toxic waste place.
I'll say this though, they were cookie cutter houses, but there was over a dozen styles used in there, and they kind of shuffled the deck so that there was no two houses alike next to each other, but there might be a couple of houses alike on the same block.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But they built them so that they all touched each other.
They all touched each other?
So they all touched each other. Yeah, there's no gap between the houses.
They have backyards?
No, I don't think they did.
If they did, you couldn't see them anyway, right?
I'm trying to think.
We have to get on Google.
A lot of them had an alleyway behind the house so you could get to the garage. But the ones that were facing the park, they didn't even have that. They were butt-to-butt with the houses facing the street behind them. which was really weird.
Yeah, if I became a real estate developer, I would design a housing district where there was one big loop, and all the houses were built around the loop, and then behind the houses was a park. But you could only get to the park by going through one of the houses.
Okay.
So all the kids, would go play in the little park area, and adults could too, whatever. But you only had access to the park through one of the houses. You had to live there to have access to
the park. Or maybe through the maintenance shed, because how are you going to get the lawnmower in there?
Well, somebody who lives in one of the houses would take care of it, or multiple people. Whoever wanted to step up to the plate would take care of it.
So a communal backyard.
Correct. You had your individual backyards, but then there was also a communal backyard.
Right.
That's how I would design it. So whatever the community wanted for a playground area, that's what they would have. But I would initially build something. And then they could add to it if they wanted to.
Okay. You build it, and they will come.
Right, because eventually I would sell all the houses, and I wouldn't have access to, maintenance on it or anything like that. So they would have to maintain it via community project.
So you'd build the houses so they all touched each other also?
No, but their yards would touch each other.
Okay. Okay, so there's your access point. Through somebody's yard.
Through somebody's yard.
Okay.
You never know. You can do both. Build one continuous building, but that really wouldn't work, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't like the continuous building thing. I really do not like sharing walls with my neighbor. I don't even like my neighbor's walls to be too close to me.
You don't even like living in a box.
That's true, too. I don't like living in a box, even though I'm in a fiberglass box right now.
Yeah, it's more like a bubble, though.
I'm a bubble boy. I live in a bubble.
David Ray, the bubble boy. I kind of live in a bubble, too.
Yep.
8x10 box.
8x10?
The sleeper, the width of it is about 8 feet. Actually, a little less, more like 7 foot. And then from the front of the truck to the back of the sleeper, it is about 10 feet. If you just count the sleeper, it's not. It's about a 7x7 box. I don't know, I haven't measured. But if you meet from the front of the cab to the back of the sleeper, it's about 10 feet. And I use, passenger side of the truck as like an office space. So that's my office. And in the back is my house.
Yeah, isn't that funny? You don't have a co-driver, but they won't let you take the passenger seat out?
Yeah. My old company would. Let me take my passenger seat out so I can put a refrigerator over there. And then I mounted my laptop to the refrigerator. So I still sit in the driver's seat. I just turn to the right and work on the laptop when it was parked.
There you go.
My steering wheel is my desk, and I put my laptop on the steering wheel.
And thus the podcast where your hand looks like its own entity.
Do what?
And thus your videos where your hand looks like your own entity, like its own entity.
Oh, yeah. That video I prompted on my laptop. So it was like sitting in the groove of my laptop between the bottom piece of the tummy. It was sitting in that groove pointing at me. And so, yeah, I was doing my thing. So my hands
I know. It was a serious video, but all the same, it was funny to watch that because you'd be making gestures with your hand, but you couldn't see how your hand was attached to your body. And your hand was literally bigger than your face. And then it would reach over and touch your nose. And it was so freaky. It's like, oh, it's going to touch him.
Yeah, that's on my Vegan Lion channel. It's the only video I have, which is why I said that when I get home, we need to make a vegan YouTube video. Because basically my Vegan Lion channel, I want it to be a softer version of the Vegan Cheetah. See, the Vegan Cheetah is like a paparazzi for the vegan community. And he kind of, sort of attacks certain vegans.
But you do know that lions eat cheetahs, don't you?
They also eat vegans.
But lions eat cheetahs.
They also eat vegans. Vegans taste like chicken.
I'm just saying in nature, you know, lions attack and eat cheetahs.
Yeah. They also eat vegetarians.
Cheetahs are sort of the greyhounds of the cat world.
What?
They're sort of the greyhounds of the cat world.
Yeah.
They run really, really, really fast, but they can't leave their kill on the ground because if they do, lions will take it from them. And so they have to drag their kills up into trees.
So they can only get smaller prey.
They'll get an antelope. You know, when it comes down to it, they'll chase down an antelope and kill it, but they got to drag it up a tree or the lions will take it from them. Or the hyenas, or just about anything else.
Oh, yeah, hyenas are vicious. So, yeah, so I created the Vegan Lion channel to be kind of a softer version of the Vegan Cheetah because I don't really want to attack anybody. You know, I just want to point out, you know, certain education. We don't want to attack anybody. We want to help people. And so,
yeah, well, I'll be completely non-PC. I'll make the Vegan Hyena channel and just laugh at everybody.
Hey, we can do that.
We'll viciously laugh at everybody.
Well, that's pretty much what the Vegan Cheetah does. He probably should have made his channel more like the Vegan Hyena channel. Because that's basically what he is. He's more like a paparazzi than anything.
Right.
And that's what his channel's all about. But he's going after militant vegans, mostly. He's not attacking all vegans. He's just attacking
militant vegans? What's
militant.
That?
Right.
I'm kidding. We went over that already.
Hate and fear mongrels.
Hate and fear mongers.
Yes. And he's against that as much as I am. So he goes after them, where I just talk about them. I talk
right.
about them in general, where he points them out and calls them out. Yeah, he's not afraid to go for the kill, if you will. And even though I'm not really afraid to go for the kill, I don't really want to go for the kill.
Want to sort out the fact from the fiction.
Huh?
You just want to sort out the fact from the fiction.
Right. So, yeah. Because, you know, Freely is one of the ones that he routinely goes after. And I haven't really maybe studied her as much as he has. Maybe she's worse than I think she is. But from what I've seen,
what it boils down to anyway, it doesn't really matter what her personal philosophy is. It's what information has she gathered and is putting out, and how valid is it? All
right?
Right. If she's putting out valid, useful information, then great. Accept it, use it, put it to use.
Right. You take what she has studied and what she has learned and what works for her, and you apply what works for you.
There you go. And so it doesn't matter whether she calls you a fat cow because you don't have a thigh gap.
Right. All right?
Okay. If that's, you know, that's wrong, it's wrong. Fine. You know? If it's wrong, it's not helpful. You know? Even if it's true, if it's not helpful, you know? You know, she's unwilling to hear any discussions that negates what she says is true. Well, then, really, that's her problem and the problem of anybody who follows her. But it's not necessarily your problem.
Right. She's got some devout followers.
Yeah. So, well, we've got a friend who has devout followers, too. But they've never met him. So,
Oh, right. JD.
I was about to say, don't name anybody.
I didn't name him.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
Yeah,
so.
Dietrich is the other JD.
Yeah. You went and named somebody.
I don't care about naming him. He's a scam artist. The other one, he's just full of whatever. But this JD is a scam artist, and I will call him out. He's ripping people off. Blatantly ripping people off.
Yep.
That guy belongs in a mental hospital or behind bars. He needs to be locked up or something. Shot, hung from the highest tree.
That's kind of vague and whatever. You've got to be locked up for something. Doesn't matter what, just as long as it's for something.
Or something.
Yeah.
O-R. Yeah. We already
you
know.
You've got to be locked up for something.
Right. We already know what he needs to be locked up for, but he needs to be gotten rid of. He needs to be exterminated.
Ouch.
Or as Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, he needs to be erased.
Oh, my.
You know the eraser?
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I've been erased, and then he kills him. The eraser. I am the eraser. You have been erased. Annihilates him.
I remember when he was that cybernetic thing from the future.
Oh, that was Terminator.
Yeah, Terminator. And you know, this menu choice came up for his response to somebody beating on his door. And it settled on the response, "Fuck you, asshole."
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, that'll make you blend in.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah.
So it's been 2 hours and 8 minutes and...
Nobody's called in.
Nobody's called in.
Nobody will call in.
Will they? Nobody will call in? I can't wait to speak to nobody.
Actually, I am nobody.
Well, glad to meet you, because I heard nobody cares.
I wrote a poem about that whenever I was younger, and it was titled Nobody, and it basically said that. When you think that nobody cares, I'm nobody. When you think that nobody loves you, I am nobody. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I wrote a whole poem like that.
Wow.
People loved it, but my ex-wife burned it, so it's no longer existing.
Right.
Well, I take that back. A girlfriend prior to her stole my book of poems, so it may still exist. Because I was very OCD and in detail, rewrote every one of my poems in this book, very artistically. And she stole it. I had about 1,000 poems in there that I wrote.
You wrote.
I wrote. And, even a couple of songs, because about that time I had started becoming a musician. And so I had about 13 songs that I wrote. Some of those songs are in that book. And her name, I don't know her last name anymore, I can't remember it, but her first name is Mystic.
Okay.
Mystique, you know, like X-Men. And, so yeah, that's her name, Mystic. Anyways, yeah, she stole my book, and I never got it back, and I hope to see it again someday, but I seriously doubt it. And then after that, my first wife burnt pretty much the rest of everything I had.
Well,
I have a few surviving articles, but very little. And anytime I find one of my old friends or old girlfriends, I'm like, oh, I'm glad to see you. Do you have any of my old poems? And unfortunately, none of them do. Or if they do, they won't give them to me. And I told them they can keep the originals. I don't want the originals. You know, you can treasure them. I just want copies. I want the words so I can recreate it, whatever, you know. I want to document it. I'm trying to get my stuff back.
Right.
But, yeah, I found my junior high school sweetheart on Facebook, whom I wrote most of these poems to. And, unfortunately, her ex-husband destroyed all of my poems that I wrote to her.
You bastard, you should have sent them back to me.
Right? Yeah. He destroyed, basically, he destroyed everything, every memory of me that she possessed, except for one little wallet-sized picture that she was able to hide.
Jealous much?
Right. So, well, that's the same thing that happened with me and my first wife. She burned her pictures. She burned all the poetry, most all the poetry that I wrote her. I don't know if I have any poems left that I wrote her. Yeah, I don't know that I have any. Every time I find one of the poems, I put it in a file folder that's in my filing cabinet. To be safe, I need to get a firebox, put them in there, but, you know, I haven't got that far yet. But mostly what I have is my music. I don't have my poetry. I found half of the music that I wrote, but I haven't found a lot of the poetry that I wrote. So it's all pretty much gone. But yeah, even the pictures.
Well, lesson learned. Write them for them, but never give them.
Do what?
Go ahead and write the poems for them, but never give them.
Well, even if I didn't give them away, they would be even more lost. Because there would be no chance of recovery. So at least I did give them away, because then at least maybe somebody will have a copy. Maybe. I know Mystic probably still has the original book, or that book that I recreated. You know? Unless maybe she met somebody later that was jealous of the poetry and destroyed it. But I didn't write anything to her that I know of.
Right.
Which
because she stole it, because she's mad at you for not writing her anything.
Yeah, I don't recall that I wrote her anything or not. I may have wrote her one or two, but who knows. I was still writing back then, so I could have wrote her something, but most of them were to Kim. When I met Cherise, I wasn't writing anymore. And that's what made her jealous, because I didn't write any to or about her. So I wasn't writing anymore. It was a thing of my past. Because she wanted to destroy my history. Just like the government does. The government wants to destroy history.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Right. That's ISIS's primary job is to destroy history.
Well, you know, we can't let people, you know, like, know that there's, like, some alternative reason for why things happened.
Exactly. Yeah, that is why the New World Order has employed ISIS to do. Destroy history, create a problem so that we can come in and create a solution for the problem.
They might learn from history if they actually remembered history.
Or saved some of it, read it. We can't have the people be educated. Oh, no. Yep. Who, you was telling me about somebody else in history who's going around and stealing art and artifacts and other historical things. Or maybe it was Kim. Somebody was telling me about somebody in history going around and stealing. Well, the Germans, the Nazis did that, I think.
I know in the mid to late 1930s, somebody went through all the libraries and checked out all the alternative information on moving a vehicle.
On what kind of vehicle?
On moving vehicles. The only thing they left in the libraries was gas-driven stuff.
Oh.
And one of the big ones that they took out was, in Australia, they used to have these cars that were run on pure air pressure.
Okay.
They were able to move around hundreds of miles on a 3 cubic feet tank of air. And the exhaust was air.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't have that.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, anybody who could compress air could sell fuel. And everybody can compress air. So, Yeah.
That should be illegal.
I mean, set up a windmill and just have it compress air all day long, and, you know, you'd have compressed air to run your vehicle. And, yeah.
So where do we get a hold of that book?
Well, it was actually a magazine. I forget I don't remember the exact title of the magazine, but it had a real simple name. I'm not saying that this is the name, but the name was along the lines of compressed air. And you can't find a copy of it anywhere anymore.
Somebody's got one, but they're hiding it.
Yeah. Yeah, if somebody's got one, they're hiding it. So.
Right, they're hiding it from us, or they're hiding it from the government.
Yeah, and either way, it's lost.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, they actually ran. They actually used these trumps that I keep talking about in order to make compressed air.
Donald Trump?
In order, say what?
Donald Trump?
No, T-R-U-M-P-E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, it might be T-R-O-M-P-E. I forget. But anyway.
Yeah, that would be a trope.
Yeah, it's not a trope. It's a trump or a trump. Anyway, it's basically a cone with a bunch of holes drilled through it. You drop this cone down into a funnel, and then you put a whole bunch of straws in the holes, and you allow water to flow down the funnel past the cone down a tube. And all those little straws will suck in air, you know, the water's passing by the cone. The movement of the water will draw air through all of the straws and put little air bubbles in the water. And you run that water down to 300 feet, and it lets out all the little air bubbles. And, well, as I recently learned, however many feet you go down, divide that by 2.31, and that's how many PSA you got. And so, you know, you fill the tank up however fast you flow the water down. So, need more air? Use a bigger pipe. Run more water down it.
Or go deeper.
Yeah, but if you need more volume of air, you just run the water faster.
Okay.
The way you run the water faster is you use a bigger pipe. All right? All right. Thus, you suck down more air and, you know, you fill the tank faster. All right? So, yeah, the further down you go, the higher the pressure. But, you know, I recently figured out that, hey, your storage tank doesn't have to be down there. Because all the designs I've ever seen, they had the storage tank down there. Well, why not just have a collection tank down there and take all the pressurized air and put it in a tank up above?
Right. If air rises, you can just put it up above.
Yeah, just, well, you know, as the pressure builds in the collection tank, it'll push the air up into the storage tank. You know, so really all you need is a tiny tank down there. You don't need to have a big tank down there, just a tiny tank. So you could actually make one of these and put it down a regular water well.
What do you mean regular water, like
hand-dug
one?
Like the ones that they drill.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like the ones on P&S.
No. You ideally want to put that tank down 200-300 feet if you can. All right?
Oh,
Well, you know, the standard storage tank for compressed air is too big to put down one of those wells, so you'd have to dig a deeper, a wider hole. All right. Well, why do that? Why not just put a really long, skinny tank down a regular well all the way down to the bottom? All right. And, you know, let it produce that really high pressure air way down there, because you know, typically you only put your pump down until it's underwater. You don't put it down to the bottom. You know?
Right. So you basically put this past the pump, so you gotta make sure the hole is bigger or wider than the pump.
That's all. That's all you have to do. And so, yeah, you'd pull your pump up, and then you'd run this down all the way to the bottom, and then put your pump back in place.
Right. That sounds easy enough.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've got a well, you might as well take advantage of it to produce compressed air. And the beauty of it is you can arrange things so that any time you turn on your faucet, you're sucking air bubbles all the way down.
All the way down. All the way down. All the way down.
So,
all the way down.
So,
how late is Taco Bell usually open?
Say what?
How late is Taco Bell usually open?
Well, let's see. The last time I went to Taco Bell in Stockton, Missouri, it was never open.
Well,
couldn't even find it.
About a half a mile.
Well, there's a Taco Bell in Vallejo, California, that was open 24/7. And then they changed their hours.
I think they're open till midnight or 11 o'clock maybe.
Yeah, it depends on the area.
I might take a little walk. Have me some Taco Hell tonight. Those good vegan Taco Hell.
And then there was a Jack in the Box in Vallejo that said it was open 24 hours. But when I'd get done delivering my newspapers and drive by there around 3 o'clock in the morning to get a quick burger before I went home, that'd be the hour that they were closed.
Yeah.
And I'd complain. I'd point at the sign that says you're supposed to be open 24 hours. Well, we have to take an hour break to do blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, then say you're open 23 hours.
Right.
Don't tell me you're open 24 hours when you're not.
Why not?
Tell your bosses it's a safety issue. Some crazy man's going to come here and shoot the place up because you weren't open.
True that. Hey, somebody else is here. All right, I'm going to flip a UE.
Okay, so we've been 2.5 hours at this, almost.
2.5 hours with 2 separate podcasts.
Oh, that's true. The upload problems will be... Okay, so we can keep going.
Nah, call it a day, because I'm going to go walk and get some good vegan Taco Bell.
Vegan Taco Bell. Now, you do know that when they cook the lettuce on the grill, it's going to be mixed with that bacon fat.
Do they serve bacon at Taco Bell?
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah. So I'll have kosher vegan Taco Bell. Make all the Jews and vegans happy.
Clearly you didn't understand what I said about... Oh, well.
What, pork's not kosher? I thought it was.
Well, no, I mean, you know, when they cook the lettuce on the grill, it's going to be on the same grill as they do the bacon.
Right.
Have you ever had cooked lettuce? Have you ever had cooked lettuce? Come on.
Actually, I have. It's not as good as the fried ice cream, though.
No, I'd say it wasn't. Oh.
Or fried bacon, for that matter.
Woohoo.
Your favorite.
All right. So tomorrow I feed the cats, I feed the goats, and then I go to Bill and Shirley's.
I really wish they would not put these gigantic rocks where I'm supposed to be turning. Make my job a little difficult. Fuck, I can't make this turn.
Well, they do that so you won't run over the curb.
There is no curb.
That's why they put them there.
The rocks are the curb.
Yeah, that's my point.
I'm trying to make this turn. I'm trying to back into this parking spot so I can unload tomorrow. It sounds like I'm hitting things because my front end alignment's all out of whack. Bang, 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 every time I turn the wheel. Sounds like I'm hitting things, tearing something up.
Tearing it up.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. There it goes again. Bang. When there's people outside where I'm turning, and they hear that thing pop, it is so loud. It actually sounds like I hit something and it freaks people out. It's funny. It used to scare me. It don't anymore, but it used to scare me. I would look around and see what I hit. It's that loud in the truck. Can you imagine how loud it is outside the truck?
No doubt.
Okay. I'm in this spot now.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm cockeyed, though. Only took me 3 minutes to do it. Let me get straightened out. Whew, it's a tight spot. My dad hates this place. I told him where I was going. Oh, that place. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Oops, a cat just slipped off my roof.
Cat slide. All right. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, I got a new game I can play.
Cool.
When I hear cats up on the roof, all I have to do is shake my camper.
Oh, nice. I am at longitude 40.051116, negative 86.045204.
Okay.
Yeah. I couldn't get here by punching in the address. I had to look up the longitude and latitude.
Right.
Yeah, my GPS did not compute the address.
All right, so should we say goodnight for the second podcast of the year?
The second podcast of the year. We're actually doing pretty good.
Yeah, 2 for 2.
This is week 2 of the year, second podcast of the year.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, if you like our podcast, let us know by liking and sharing our podcast with Google. There's a Google button, there's a Twitter button, and a Facebook like.
Oh, wait a minute. There is one more thing we need to do before we cut out.
Oh, Ron Paul.
Ron Paul Revolution. Now, you'll have to do that because I've already got one merged in, namely you.
Right. Okay, give me a second. I mean, a minute. Give me 1 minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 6. Time's up.
Now, if I press 1, what's going to happen?
Nothing. I don't know why it does that, because it doesn't work.
Press 1 if you want to repeat. Press 1 if you want to. Press 1 if you want to. Press 1 if you want to repeat.
It only repeated 3 times, and then it hangs up on you. Okay. Ron, Paul, Revolution. Here it is, and go.
Story 9th. Last week, as the mainstream media continued to obsess over the CIA's evidence-free claim that the Russians hacked the presidential election, President Obama quietly sent 300 U.S. Marines back into Afghanistan's Helmand province. This is the first time in 3 years that the U.S. military has been sent into that conflict zone, and it represents a final failure of Obama's Afghanistan policy. The outgoing president promised that by the end of his second term, the U.S. military would only be present in small numbers and only on embassy duty. But more than 8,000 U.S. troops will remain in Afghanistan as he leaves office. When President Obama was first elected, he swore that he would end the U.S. presence in Iraq, the bad war, and increase U.S. presence in Afghanistan, the good war. He ended up increasing troops to both wars. While the situation in each country continued to deteriorate, why are the Marines needed in the Helmand province? Because although the foolish and counterproductive 15-year U.S. war in Afghanistan was long ago lost, Washington cannot face this fact. Last year, the Taliban controlled 20% of the province. This year, they control 85% of the province. So billions more must be spent and many more lives will be lost. Will these 300 Marines somehow achieve what the 2011 peak of 100,000 U.S. soldiers was not able to achieve? Will this last push win the war? Hardly. The more the president orders military actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, the worse it gets. In 2016, for example, President Obama dropped 1,337 bombs on Afghanistan, a 40% increase from 2015. According to the United Nations, in 2016, there were 2,562 conflict-related civilian deaths and 5,835 injuries. And the Taliban continues to score victories over the Afghan puppet government. The interventionists in Washington continue to run our foreign policy regardless of who is elected. They push for wars. They push for regime change. Then they push for billions to reconstruct the bombed-out countries. When the liberated country ends up in worse shape, they claim it was because we just didn't do enough of what ruined the country in the first place. It's completely illogical, but the presidents who keep seeking the neocons' advice don't seem to notice. Obama, the peace candidate and president, has proven himself no different than his predecessors. What will a President Trump do about the 15-year failed nation-building experiment in Afghanistan? He has criticized the longstanding U.S. policy of regime change and nation building while on the campaign trail, and I would like to think he would just bring the troops home. However, I would not be surprised if he accelerates U.S. military action in Afghanistan to win the war once and for all. He will not succeed if he does so, as the war is not winnable. No one even knows what winning looks like. We may well see even more U.S. troops killing and being killed in Afghanistan a year from now if that is the case. That would be a terrible tragedy. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Two. Wait for it.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
3.
Boom! Good
Yeah, Ron Paul has me shaking my head for once. Not because he was saying we shouldn't fund this one war and whatever, but because he said that there's such a thing as a good war.
No, yeah. I don't think he was saying there was such a thing as a good war. He was saying that the regime was saying that there's a good war here and a bad war there, and we're going to fight the good war for some crap, and instead we ended up increasing the size, increasing both.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
That's what he said, but we can call and listen again. Hang on.
Hey.
Here we go.
January 9th. Last week, as the mainstream media continued to obsess over the CIA's evidence-free claim that the Russians hacked the presidential election, President Obama quietly sent 300 U.S. Marines back into Afghanistan's Helmand province. This is the first time in 3 years that the U.S. military has been sent into that conflict zone, and it represents a final failure of Obama's Afghanistan policy. The outgoing president promised that by the end of his second term, the U.S. military would only be present in small numbers and only on embassy duty. But more than 8,000 U.S. troops will remain in Afghanistan as he leaves office. When President Obama was first elected, he swore that he would end the U.S. presence in Iraq, the bad war, and increase U.S. presence in Afghanistan, the good war. He ended up increasing troops to both wars. While the situation in each country continues to deteriorate, why are the Marines needed in the Helmand province? Because although the foolish and counterproductive 15-year U.S. war in Afghanistan was long ago lost.
Yeah.
Washington cannot face this fact. Last year, the Taliban controlled 20% of the province. This year, they control 85% of the province. So billions more must be spent and many more lives will be lost. Will these 300 Marines somehow achieve what the 2011 peak of 100,000 U.S. soldiers was not able to achieve? Will this last push win the war? Hardly. The more the president orders military actions in Iraq and Afghanistan, the worse it gets. In 2016, for example, President Obama dropped 1,337 bombs on Afghanistan, a 40% increase from 2015. According to the United Nations, in 2016, there were 2,562 conflict-related civilian deaths and 5,835 injuries. And the Taliban continues to score victories over the Afghan puppet government. The interventionists in Washington continue to run our foreign policy regardless of who is elected. They push for wars, they push for regime change, then they push for billions to reconstruct the bombed-out country. When the liberated country ends up in worse shape, they claim it was because we just didn't do enough of what ruined the country in the first place.
Right.
It's completely illogical, but the presidents who keep seeking the neocons' advice don't seem to notice. Obama, the peace candidate and president, has proven himself no different than his predecessors. What will President Trump do about the 15-year failed nation-building experiment in Afghanistan? He has criticized the longstanding U.S. policy of regime change and nation-building while on the campaign trail, and I would like to think he would just bring the troops home. However, I would not be surprised if he accelerates U.S. military action in Afghanistan to win the war once and for all. He will not succeed if he does so, as the war is not winnable. No one even knows what winning looks like. We may well see even more U.S. troops killing and being killed in Afghanistan a year from now if that is the case. That would be a terrible tragedy. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org. and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
He actually got to finish this time without getting cut off.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Maybe pressing 1 will
work. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
I'm sorry, what?
Maybe pressing 1 will work this time.
Nah.
We shall never know.
Yeah. So, we know what a win looks like. Pull our troops out and let them have their country back.
Yeah, that'd be a win.
That would be a win. It's not our place. It's not our business to be there.
Right. The only argument I'd have against that is if they specifically asked for assistance.
Correct.
And we agreed with their cause.
If they asked for our assistance and
if they asked us for our assistance and we agreed with their cause.
Correct.
But since we can never have full agreement in this country, it'd have to be they asked for assistance and individuals went to help. Not
that true too.
Not government funded men sent.
Right. But see, we can't even have that in our own country. Why would we have that in another country? Did somebody just call in?
Hello? We would have heard a bing, but I didn't hear a bing.
I did. Maybe it's the FBI recording our conversation.
I heard a thunk thunk, but I didn't hear a bing.
I heard a bing. It almost sounded like someone called into the call, but it's finally. There it goes again. Did you hear it?
I heard a click.
Oh, maybe my... Hang on.
Your Bluetooth is about to die.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Or your mom's calling you.
No.
Your mommy's calling you.
No.
Your mommy's pretty cool. If she's calling you, put her on the line.
Oh, I just heard it again. And I didn't get any new notifications. I mean, I had notifications, but I didn't get a new one pop up. So my Bluetooth is dying.
Your Bluetooth is dying.
Before we conclude the podcast, Trump. Yeah. If Trump does what Trump does, he is either going to one of two things. He's going to rush in with everything we got. Bang! Hellfire and brimstone. And activate World War III, probably, who knows, whatever. Or because he is friends with Putin, he's probably going to do whatever Putin wants. You still there?
Yeah, Putin. He's going to Putin. No, he's going to do what Putin wants.
Right. So, you know, since him and Putin are friends... Since he's president now and Putin's president, Russia is going to be our ally, if you will, and we are going to resist Russia. So whatever Russia wants in conjunction of what we want, that's what's going to happen. So ideally, we want to watch Russia right now real close because they are going to be our closest ally, and we're going to do what's good for Russia and good for the U.S. Or, you know, the powers that be, not really us, because they don't really care about us. Us, the people. Putin cares about his people more than our government cares about their people. So, that's one thing I can say good about Putin. At least he cares about his people. So anyways, my headset's dying. I'm almost to Taco Bell. So that concludes the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
Hey, folks.
Where we talk about pretty much everything.
Hope to see you next week. Please call in.
We want callers.
He's calling us.
Oh my God.
And Yeah, if
press one.
And you want us to continue, like us on our page so that we know that people like us and want us to continue. We got a Facebook like button.
Press one to repeat.
We have a Google share button, and we have a Twitter button. I can't tell how many people tweet us, but I can tell how many people Facebook like us and Google like or share us. So, and we're not really looking for handouts or hand-ups, but if you want to be a sponsor and you like what we're doing, then hey, you know, we can use some funding since now T-Mobile's charging me to call my own podcast.
Shame on them.
Shame on them. Well, it cost me $150 a year to keep the podcast going. Other than that, oh no, is it $150 every 2 years? So $75 a year to keep it going. Besides having to call in and pay to call in now.
Wow.
So, you know, donations are handy, but we don't expect them. We'll just keep
right.
doing what we do. And also, since I depend on David Ray now to call in, if you like us, find some way to remind David Ray to call in.
I think you're, I think it finally went.
Hello? Okay, my Bluetooth officially died.
I noticed the difference.
So,
after
that, I will
remind David Ray to.
Yeah. So that concludes the podcast.
You can also alarm every Sunday evening and remind me to call in.
There you go. And of course, you can call in yourself as well.
Right.
So who knows? So, yeah, maybe we'll be here next Sunday. Maybe we'll hear from you next Sunday at 7 p.m. Central.
All righty.
All right. As soon as somebody comes to this register, I'm going to make my order and hang up on you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. How about I just hang up on the podcast? Bye, folks. See you next week.